Hey guys, this episode of Sports Spectrum is brought to you by our friends at Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean and safe water and, most importantly, God's love to people around the world. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, you won't regret getting involved with this amazing ministry. Clean water to people in need. watermission.org/join the team.
Welcome into the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where we bring Jesus into the sports conversation. Here's your host for today, Jason Romano.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. So glad you're tuning into the podcast today on this Football Friday. And it's good to say Football Friday when you know that football is back. College football, high school football, the NFL. It is a great time of year in September, my favorite month, and football is back. And we have a great conversation coming up with James Mitchell. He's the Tennessee Titans team chaplain. You do not want to miss this conversation. It's coming up in a sec. First, I want to tell you about our website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you go check that out each and every day. Devotionals, podcasts, articles, all for free at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. That is also for free. We'll email you once a week on Wednesday mornings, and it'll update you on all of what's happening at Sports Spectrum and those articles and podcasts that you may have missed. Click that newsletter icon at the top of our website, sportsspectrum.com, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. Now, the podcast today, the conversation today, I loved it. It was fantastic. James Mitchell, Tennessee Titans team chaplain. He's also got this title called Coordinator of Life Enrichment, which I think is just an awesome title when you think about what James Mitchell is to the Tennessee Titans. He's on staff there. He's their team chaplain, as I mentioned, but he's also a man who is a jack of all trades in many ways. He even talks about his job as being a coach for life. And we talk a lot in this conversation about leadership, about marriage, about continuing to learn and the importance of learning, about breakfast, lunch, and dinner, which you'll see what I mean when I say that, about fishing. James Mitchell, he's been around a while. He's 61 years old, as he says, a graduate of Central Arkansas. He was a former college coach for many years and then had stints with FCA, with Pro Athletes Outreach and PAO. He was with the University of Tennessee for many years and then with Duke University before coming to the Titans, and now is entering his fifth season with the Titans down there in Nashville. This is James Mitchell. I promise you, you will want to be friends with this man when you are finished hearing this conversation. James Mitchell, Tennessee Titans team chaplain, joining us now on Sports Spectrum. James Mitchell, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, buddy. How you doing?
I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Last time we had you on was right before COVID, and it was in a group, a room with four other guys. I think Wesley Woodyard, Roger Saffold, Ryan Tannehill, and yourself. And we just kind of talked about the spiritual journey that the 2019 Titans went through. And then there's other spiritual journeys that take place after that, right? It's been a couple years, and you've seen since a 2020 season that was very unusual with COVID, 2021 a little more normal. But one thing that's been pretty consistent that I've seen is the spiritual growth of players on the team. And I'm not saying it culminates to success on the field, but the Titans have been one of the most consistent franchises the past few years. What's it been like for you these past few years, just navigating the new world that was COVID and a pandemic and staying connected to, you know, to the guys on the team?
Well, I'm very fortunate. I was in the office every day, so I was not restricted because my office is there. And so John Robinson put me in tier one. So I still traveled I'm still at practice every day. I was still in meetings. So that was a blessing about that. I didn't have to be restricted and not having to be able to come into the building. So that kind of kept it the same, even though, you know, you had a smaller, it was a compressed audience, but everybody was still together. So, which was pretty cool, very fortunate on my part.
Yeah, because there wasn't, I've talked to a lot of guys who were, especially team chaplains, and not everybody got that opportunity. A lot of them had to go full-time Zoom and really, you know, stay connected to the guys, which is a blessing that you were able to continue to have that. By the way, when I was doing my research for you, I just noticed this. You went to Central Arkansas, right? Graduate of Central Arkansas.
I'm a bear through and through, brother.
There you go. Class of 84, which made me think that you overlapped with Scottie Pippen when you were there. Does that sound right?
I say I actually got there in 81. I came from Junior College of Mississippi. And then I East Central Community College. And then I played 2 years. And since I had a habit that did not contour with studying, I smoked weed every day. So yeah. I needed 2 more years to graduate. Mm-hmm. And so they kept me on. They asked me if I wanted to coach college football one day. So they kept me on. And I finished my undergrad in 1984. Then I started grad school and went right into a college coaching job. So, yes, it was and it's interesting because on March that, on 1984, March the 1st, it's where I accepted Ash Christ into my heart. Hmm. You know, there in Central, I went to church all my life. You know, I grew up in Mississippi, the South, S-O-U-F-F. It's a different than anything else, you know. So it was, I grew up in church and I was taken to church and I was baptized at a young age. But I knew on March 1st, 1984, I knew Christ for myself. And so I made a commitment to Christ that day. And that's kind of where my Central Arkansas started my journey to where I am today.
What changed after that? When you said you were smoking weed and just kind of doing your own thing and Christ comes into your life, what changes right after that?
Well, the most immediate change, I guess God said, let me make it obvious to this idiot. So I immediately had no desire to smoke weed again.
Wow.
And even when I tried, I got sick and I had never gotten sick doing that. And so he took that part of my life away from me immediately to make himself for me. Make himself real about what he's able to do. And so it was a drastic change. I've had some people to come to my life. My head coach sent his pastor to my dorm room there in Conway. And he took me through me and another player through the Navigator series. And that's where I first kind of learned about what it means to study and what it means to memorize scripture, you know. And so that started me on the path. And then I went to, one of the best Christian coaches after that, Coach Ken Hatfield. And man, he showed me a different perspective of coaching from a Christian man perspective that I, you know. And my head coach was a Christian, Harold Horton. And having both of those in my life, man, really changed the dynamic of and who I wanted to become as a football coach.
Were you still, yeah, you mentioned coach, right? Like what we talked about just now in the beginning was that you're the team chaplain of the Titans and also on staff there. But coaching's different, right? So it's probably, you would probably laugh at me if I had told you in the 80s or 90s that you would be the team chaplain of an NFL team someday when you were on this coaching journey.
I would have taken you to a place and left you because you had some mental problems, I promise you. I still have teammates that can't believe that. They'll call sometimes and say, Mitch, now, what do you do? I said, don't call me and ask me that no more. You know, so, man, I tell you what, all I want to do was coach college football. I enjoyed coaching offensive line in college. That's all I knew. And I had no idea. The good Lord had to literally take me out of coaching. I didn't do this. This wasn't a volunteer, this is what I want to do type deal. My last coaching job, I coached for 14 years. My last coaching job was actually here in Nashville, at Tennessee State. The head coach lost his job. I remember sitting in my house in Madison, Tennessee. We had already started the FCA at Tennessee State, and I was on the FCA board locally here in Nashville. And so at the beginning of that summer, they had asked me, hey, how about starting we don't have inner city ministry in high schools and junior high school in Nashville. How about coming on FCA board? I said, no, nah, brother. I still got some bad edges. I still might cuss a lot every now and then in my anger. you know, and so set in my house, the head coach lost his job. And so all of us got fired in January. So, you know, prideful. I know a lot of people. And so I said, my buddies are calling us, hey, we're going to get you a job. It's March, I'm going to have a job. We're about to be evicted from our home. We are the board on the borderline of going to file bankruptcy. We're about to lose our vehicle. It's kind of funny. I woke up one morning, my pickup truck was gone. So I panicked and called the police. About an hour later, the police called back and said, Mr. Mitchell, we found your truck. I said, perfect. Where? He said, it's been repossessed.
Oh. Wow.
So we had, you know, three little kids and it was in disarray. You know, and so, man, I remember sitting in my house. I'm not a guy that gets down. I remember sitting in my house, man. And they said, God, whatever you want me to do. And I don't know how many hours later, but FCA called back and said, hey, how about one more shot at maybe coming working for us? And for the first time in my life, I knew that the door God was opening. I was scared to death and nothing about how to do ministry. And then that's how I got involved with ministry-wise. And so kind of something, so the all of us got ready to move to Nashville. So the FCA director guy there was the chaplain. So he called me and said, hey, why don't you fly down, meet some of the coaches, and let's see if we can make the transition, make you the chaplain for the Oilers. So I was the original chaplain for the Oilers when they moved here in the late 90s. And so never thought I'd be back here in Nashville by no means. You know, I had a mentor named Ken Hutchison. I called him Hutch. So I left FCA and moved to Seattle and worked for PAO. And Hutch, Sherman Smith, my best friend. So Hutch just took me under his wing. And brother, he discipled me for 5 years. So I had that same story. I said, look, I didn't go to school for this. You know, I don't like a lot of school stuff. I said, so how am I going to do this? He said, listen, brother, God made you to be a football coach. He said, so treat it like you're coaching football, but you're just coaching life. I'll help you. I'll train you for the rest of it. And brother, he changed the dynamics of my life, man. How to teach, how to study. You know, I know the good Lord has blessed me. I can talk to a stump. You know what I'm saying? He gave me the ability to communicate, you know, with anybody. And so, which is pretty cool. You know, I know that only comes from him. And so that's the way I look at it. I just coach life now. I'm still a football coach. I coach life now.
It's a great way to look at it. Now that you're with the Titans, I'd love to hear from your perspective, what's a day-to-day role look like for you both in season and out of season? So in season, we're in the NFL season now, but out of season, which we just came from, you know, off-season, OTAs, minicamp, that type of thing. What's the day-to-day role for James Mitchell look like in and out of season?
Three things I make sure that's important on a day-to-day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
you gotta accomplish those, James.
Those are the most proudest at the beginning of the day. You know, like I say, I am very fortunate that what Miss Amy and John Robinson and Coach Vrabel allowed me to do. I go to team meetings. I go to some individual meetings if I want to, and if I want to, I stay late some nights and I try to visit with each coach, you know, and their setting, because the coaches kind of get left out some one time as having somebody check on them. Man, they let me kind of go. I work with people in the front office, scouts. I go upstairs and do a bio study for secretaries, anybody else, community service, administrative people. And so I'm just there every day. I'm there in the office all day. My office is there. My office is right in the middle of the floor, so guys are in and out. And so my day-to-day, it's like I'm getting ready for a football game. So I go to practice, you know, when the season starts, I'm the water guy for the D line. So I give them water. Depending on if it's too cold or too hot sometimes, I will go check on the sick and shut in so I don't have to go out the cold heat.
Yes, sir.
You know, so man, it's really just like I was coaching football. I'm at work all day. And so it's really a blessing, man. I couldn't have written a better script for this to what God allowed me to do.
Obviously, Mitch, football matters. It matters a lot. Obviously, you want to win every game and play the best you can. But how do you help the players understand, and maybe even the coaches too, that competing and winning is important, but their identity in who Jesus says they are is more important?
It's not my job. My job is to build a relationship, be transparent, and see what God do the rest of it. Because everybody's different. That's why, you know, I love discipleship. But discipleship have a lot of different faces. And so I have a relationship with guys throughout that building that don't come to anything. That's wonderful. But that means they give me a great deal of trust. But it's because I'm there every day. You know, we offer Bible studies and we offer chapels, and that's wonderful. And then we have great groups that come to that. So my job is to help them learn it, help them live it, and then help them to leave it with somebody else. Learn it, live it, and leave it with somebody. And so my what I do every day doesn't. I'm not a good luck charm.
Sure.
I'm there to coach life in whatever means that means. That means it could be biblical, man, it could be just developing great friendship, and then that softening the heart with someone. I'm not a Bible thumper, that's not my job. You know, I want them guys to be glad to see me coming. Now they come by my office, some want to grow differently. We try to have a plan for them to grow differently. We invite them to Bible studies. You know, Coach Frable allows me to have a set time for Bible study every Friday morning. We have a set time for chapel, you know, every night before the game. And during camp, we have chapel every Sunday while we're in camp. And so he gives me opportunity to be able to share and bring other people in to share. And so then to see what God does with the rest of them, you know, that's too much pressure, man. You know, because if they're changing because of me, then it won't last long. But if they're changing because they're learning and growing in the Word, then that's the dynamic, man. Because my concern is what kind of husband you're going to be, what kind of father you're going to be, and what kind of employee you're going to be. You know, because that's the profession God has called all these guys in, called all those in. So it's the platform, but it's no different than being at a business or somewhere, you know. So just seeing men grow in the Word, man, then seeing how God directs their lives and changes their lives. Because if I try to change, I'm still jacked up myself, brother. So ain't no way I can change nobody.
Well, that's why we do this show, because we don't want to point to you or me. We want to point to Jesus and
100%.
Say, hey, look at him, don't look at us. But it still has to be so fulfilling, I would say, and encouraging when you see a guy grow and come to you and say, hey, Mitch, like, God's getting a hold of me here. Help me. You know, not saying you're the answer, but you're just a guy who's on the journey with that person.
Yeah.
But it has to be so fulfilling when you see a guy come to faith and just say, I'm all in for Jesus.
Well, you know, here's the blessing of the whole deal, the way I look at it, is that sometimes we don't see the fruit of the labor. And so God gives me an opportunity sometimes to see the fruit of the labor of what guys going through Bible study, what maybe we've had one-on-one. And sometimes it's when they've gone away to other teams, they'll text back or call back. And I still have to connect with some of those guys, you know, that leave the team, because that's such a big transition. And so to see that, man, okay, I understand this now. So now I'm really going to go seek after this, you know. And so that's what's cool, man, to see guys. That's going to change their marriages. It's going to change how they are, how they are father, you know. It's going to break some generational pass on stuff that they've been given. And their kids not going to ever see that, because their dad and mama lives changed and they got a different role they're traveling now. But that's what's fun, man. That's what's fun, man. You just, you know, I have fun every day, brother. I have fun every day, you know. Just first of all, I go to work and I think, man, they give me free food. And it don't get any better than that for a guy from South Mississippi now, you know.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, James, remember?
Oh, wait. And snacks in between. Don't forget about the snacks.
Snacks are an absolute must, my friend. Hey guys, taking a quick break from our conversation here on Sports Spectrum to tell you again about our friends at Water Mission, our partners here at Sports Spectrum. They are amazing partners, what Water Mission does. A Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love to people all around the world. Now you can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a place to sow, to give, to pour into, and know that your money is going to make a difference, Water Mission is the place to go. Again, the website, watermission.org/join the team. James Mitchell is joining us here on Sports Spectrum, Tennessee Titans team chaplain, coordinator of life enrichment, which I do like that title because I think, as you mentioned, it's more of just being a chaplain. It's really enriching and helping these guys grow in life. I wonder in your role, though, how much, because obviously the spiritual is important, and that's kind of why we're talking here for this show on Sports Spectrum, but how much has been focusing on the mental health of the players and the coaches? That's been something that a lot of players have come out and been more outspoken about. And what has that been like for you talking to these guys? Because so much of life and so much of football certainly is the mental side.
Yeah, you know, and some of that has passed me. So I have a great team I work with. Chick is our player engagement. And Dr. Sheila Peters is our team clinician from a mental standpoint. And so we all work together, and that's something that she's going to have to be able to do that I can't do. And so it's not my guy, your guy. Man, I think you need to go see Miss Sheila. This is kind of beyond, you know, I can help you grow in the word, but mental health is real. And so you get professionals that deal with that. And then we have two guys that are sports psychologists, Dr. Manu, out of California, that comes in as part of our team also, that does help the sports performance from a mental perspective. And so our organization done an unbelievable job of creating an environment. But the cool part about it, that group, we all work together. We have one purpose: make the guy better. You know, make the guy better. That's the only thing we have. That called that making the guy better gives that guy be better at his job. Not at the game, at his job. And that job can have a lot of different faces, you know. And so, probably the special group that I enjoy working with. Now, I enjoy the players, but man, that coaching staff, because you know, that was my life for such a period of time. And I just enjoy fellowship with them, man. You know, the offensive line coach, Keith, him and Halton let me come in and hang out in meetings, and I can watch film with them and watch players they're going to draft. So, man, that gets my, what I have to watch. Is I get just as frustrated as they do during the game. So sometimes I have to slip away and go in and eat me a hot dog with the equipment guys so I can make sure that I don't get on my coaching side.
Well, how about playoff games too, right? When you're on a season, when you go through so much and then you get to the playoffs and there's so much at stake, how are you when you're on the sidelines for a playoff game? Are you tense and nervous and uptight just, you know, watching your guys there, or, you know, you have to go back and get a hot dog? What's that like when you're there during a playoff game?
Yeah, I still watch it from a coach's perspective, because that's the only way I know how to watch the game. And so if I feel myself getting too, I'll move around. You know, I don't bother the guys on the sideline when because I don't want to be in the coach's way. You know, so I'll move around. I'll go in and help our head equipment guy, Hoss, will go in and help. I go in and help pack the bags at halftime for get ready to leave after the game. And so that kind of distracts me, you know. I'm available, you know, when they bring a guy in for the wait from maybe an injury or something, that'll kind of comfort the family. So they literally kind of just let me go where it's needed. if that's a good way to put it. You know, with Todd, you know, our head trainer is a Christian man, and so we work real well together. We've been together for 4 years now, so I know what eye contact means, what it needs to do, and so it's really, you know, it's about the betterment of the coaches and the players. That's our only job, but to be a great support system, and whatever that means, and whatever time of night, day, that's making a difference, be available. You know, we offer opportunity to grow in the Word, and if they want that, they can come. But some just like to come through the office and we kind of work through stuff. So that's okay too. And it's okay too that it's not my job to save them. It's my job to be able to open, give the opportunity for salvation. And God may not choose me to use me to save them, but He may use me to plant the seed. And so I think it's all about the perspective. You know, I work for the Titans also, but I also work with a ministry called Who You With Ministry, Lance Brown, you know, who is, he's a chaplain in Vanderbilt for the last 20 some years. And so I like working with him because he's not going to ask for how many people come into the chapel. He's not going to ask how many people are being saved this month. Or he's not going to ask how many players are giving money. He's not, because we don't ask players for money. And he's not going to ask, you know, how many numbers are coming about. You know, I'm not a numbers guy anyway, so I wouldn't tell him anyway. You know, I don't count and see how many is there. You know, we have a good group. I can tell you that we have great participation in our Bible studies in our chapel. But I think that's all because of trust. Because our front office and our head coach see it as a priority for me to be there every day, you know, to be an outlet. And like I said, I have such a great team I work with Dr. Sheila and Dr. Mundo and Manu and Chick. And we're all going the same direction. So it's not just all, you know, on me. They're going to reach some guys that I'm not going to reach, but that's okay, though.
Right. It's not about you or me. Guy. Yeah.
Right.
When you were at Tennessee, University of Tennessee, you were at Duke prior to coming to the Titans. What did you learn there that helps you in the role that you're in now? Because you said, hey, I'm not here to save guys. I'm not here to be Jesus to them. I'm here to be James Mitchell to them and point them to Jesus. But I wonder early on, as you're becoming a chaplain, I think we can all think that we're brought into this role and we got to be everything to everybody. What were some of the lessons that you learned maybe in those early days as a chaplain that's helped you where you are today?
You know, Hutch did such a great job preparing me because I left Seattle to go to the University of Tennessee. I mean, you think about it. I worked with Philip Fulmer, Pat Summitt, Bruce Pearl. They don't get no better than that, brother. You know, and so Coach Fulmer wanted a full-time chaplain. He raised all my money. I never had to have a banquet. I worked for FCA. He provided me an office. I was at work. So it's the same thing I'm doing now. The same thing I'm doing now. I had carte blanche. I went to all the meetings. I was everywhere. I went to every staff meeting. I was in every coach's staff meeting. And so he gave me access. I traveled. And then I would travel. Coach Simon gave me carte blanche. You know, and so it was, and man, it was unique. And Coach Pearl was really great with it also. And so, man, it was easy. They let me be me. I'd be a relationship, you know. And then if all else fail in college, you do gastric evangelism. You feed them.
Come on over for the food and maybe a little something else, too.
brother, all the time, you know. And then Coach Cutcliffe, when he came back to Tennessee, so he wanted to – he asked me to go to Duke with him. So he created a whole new position. I was the director of, it started out as director of player development, but he said, I want to change the director of football development. And you cover the whole football organization. And because of the private school, he put chaplain in my job description. Is that not slick or what?
Very slick.
You know, and so I had a lot of other job description with his part. You know, I did all the leadership training. There's him and I put together a leadership program. You know, I helped him handle issues. I mean, their drugs and alcohol problems. I mean, so it covered the whole guy. You know, we did job shadowing programs. I mean, I did all the community service. So, I mean, so it was like player engagement and chaplain all in the one. You know, and but that really gave me a good experience of going beyond just Bible. You know, with Coach Cut, called it created more leadership piece for me. It created more personal development plan, you know, for guys that maybe, you know, they weren't going to come to anything. You know, I know. And so we have a term on our team here. It's called IDP, Individual Development Plan. Mm. Isn't that what God is asking us to do?
Yeah.
Everyone come across your path, God will develop an individual development plan. Our job is to make sure we carry out what he's given us. I know, and because that's the most important thing. And the most important thing that they get them to the point to where they don't rely on me so much. You feel what I'm saying? That they become self-serving. And then they have the ability to teach them they can help someone else get where they are. That's what discipleship's all about, man. It's about remaking yourself, you know. And because you don't want to get prideful where, oh, these guys need me. Oh, they can't do without me. Last time I checked my nameplate on my office wall, it was in Velcro. So that means you don't have the case. So I don't want to be the thing that, you know, I'm glad guys trust me to confide and to work with them, but I won't be the one that's the all in all. That's not how it's supposed to be. And it's that can be very easily done in this position too. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, completely, completely. Who pours into you, James? Who pours into James Mitchell now? Because you're doing so much pouring into others, right? But who pours into you?
I Sherman Smith, and then my pastor here in Nashville, Pastor Chris Williamson. And so I keep men in my life that's going to, and I got a great friend, Jerry Reese.
Sure.
That's my fishing buddy. That's my fishing buddy, you know, and so, and they have the ability to ask me questions I don't let nobody else ask.
And that's important, right? That's important.
Yes, because anybody else asks me those questions, I'm probably going to hit them in the throat. So that's not possible. Okay.
Yes.
And so, but though I trust those guys, and they're not going to judge me where I am in life. They're going to give me the word, and they're going to then ask, okay, choose either be obedient. I don't be obedient. I be disobedient. Hmm. So that's what's cool about that, man. God has always provided some older men in my life, some men the same age that kind of helped me go on the next step. I'm 61 years old, and they say when you stop growing, you become a fool.
Yes.
You know, I just came back in town. I flew out this pastor in another city. Let me come sit with him about an hour and a half, and man, I had some questions for him. You know, and so it just, yeah, hey man, it's, I'm having a time of a life there.
Continuing to learn. It sounds like your 60s are getting off to as good a start as you could have ever imagined with where life has you. But I want to focus on that fishing thing you mentioned, your fishing buddy.
Oh,
you got to tell me about your love for fishing, James.
Oh, I love bass fishing. I like to go out on that water. We have a honey hole. So if you would come and want to go, I would have to put a bag on your head so you would not be able to travel to see where we're going. And so
which is fine.
I like to go out. Jerry has a plot of land, and it has these huge lakes on it. And we get out in the middle of that water. I don't have any cell service. And I smoke me a cigar, and I just sit there and watch the smoke go up before I even throw a hook in the water. It's just my peaceful time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a peaceful time. Excuse me. And I don't, it's not really about how many I catch, which I do like catching them.
Of course.
But,
and probably eating them too, right?
No, unless we spend the night. He has a 2-bedroom house on the spot. No, it's really for fun.
Okay.
You know, for fun. I enjoy it for fun. So, I don't know. It just kind of reminded me, relax. You know, listen, I have 3 daughters and a wife. I grew up with 4 ladies in my house. So my wife would say, you might need to go fishing at this week, this next week. And I said, okay, then.
Sign me up. Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm in, you know. And so I used to play golf, but especially when it was free at Duke. But
yeah.
I love fish more now.
Golf's an expensive sport, by the way. So if you love golf, it's going to
cost.
Fishing is not.
But now, going to Bass Pro Shop, it's like going to Neiman Marcus to shop for me now. I mean, I can stay in there for 2 hours, but you know, unbelievable.
Yes. Well, you mentioned you're a dad to daughters, and obviously a husband to your wife. I'm a dad to 1 daughter. I don't have any other kids, and I'm a husband to my wife Dawn. So I'm not as many females, but it's 2 against 1 in my life, and it sounds like it was 4 against 1 in your life. So we need, as guys, we need that time with other guys and that escape, that time away, right?
Yeah, yes, 100%. You know, my daughters were athletic, so she was cool. My oldest one finished like 3rd in the country gymnast out of high school. She went to University of Kentucky. My middle daughter was a big cheerleader. She went to Tennessee Tech. And my youngest baby girl played soccer at Radford. She had a scholarship at Radford University and played soccer. And but they all had sports that I could not coach.
Which probably made it better, right, though, for you as a fan?
I tried to get my baby girl when she was little. I said, listen, Dad will give you a quarter for every girl you knock down.
You were getting into that football mode. How much money did she make?
She didn't want to do it because she likes to play by the rules. But my middle daughter plays soccer as a young girl. Oh, she'd come off the field, Daddy. I got 4 today, Daddy. I got 4.
Give me those quarters, Daddy.
You know, so, man, you know, I think it was, might have been Hutch, who told me the best thing I could do for my daughters is to show them how much I love their mama.
Yeah.
You know, and Norm Evans gave me a guy here at FCA gave me an idea that in off season, every week, let each daughter create a date night and take them out individually. Give them 1 week of peace.
Yeah.
You know, one day out of the week, their week to go on dates. They're 31, they're 32, 31, and 28, and they still, I had to remind, you're married now, no more dates, you know, no more dates, you know.
Yeah.
And so they still remember those. And the next thing, the guy's named Steve Robinson, he had me too. He said, sit down on the birthday of your child's birthday and write them a letter from daddy, how their lives are affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Keep those letters. And then when they turn 18, send them all those letters. Right. It impacted me. You know, it impacted me. And so my oldest one got a middle of the semester. I sent her all 18 of those letters, you know, and they still have them. How about that?
That's awesome.
They still have
them. That's creating a legacy though, man. That's powerful stuff. And you got to be intentional as a parent to do that. And now you're a granddad too, right?
4. I have 3 boys.
There you go. You got it. That's my prayer for my daughter. I'm like, I just want 1 grandson, Sarah. That's what I tell my daughter. Just 1.
And it probably would have been fun if you had them first before you had children. But anyway, but they're a blast. They're a blast. They come visit, but then they go home. That's me, my wife and I think this is our 13th move. And this is the first move we ever moved without children. And so we've been enjoying doing what we want to do. And not having to find school systems, and so it's a new season for in our life. You know, we just celebrated 35 years of marriage, and so can't believe she put up with me for 35 years. Oh, hey, I was coaching University of Arkansas. I was 26 years old. I said, Lord, I'd really like to have a wife. Walked out the office one day. This girl walks by. I looked down the hall. I said, oh yeah, this is it. Went to the secretary, then flipped through the picture. She worked in the office. She was a senior, helped with recruiting. And the secretary, you know, he's probably stalking that. But the secretary gave me her name, number, and dorm. It probably wouldn't go well now. And phone number. And so I met her in September. I said, marry me in December. We got married in May.
Wow.
35 years ago. Well, really, I put the full court press on her before she realized what she would get herself into.
You didn't give her much of a choice, right, Mitch?
No, brother.
That's awesome.
I thought I was a recruiter.
Right. So you put that skill into motion there, and you recruited pretty well 35 years later. Well, I'm on 23 years. It'll be in November. So okay. I'm a little behind you, but I kind of say the same thing. I can't believe she's put up for me. With me for 23 years, but we're still going. So
yes,
sir.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, this has been great. Last question for you, and then I'll get you out of here. What are you most thankful to God for right now? We've talked about a lot of where you are in this season of life and all the things that you're kind of walking through. What are you most thankful to Him for right now?
That year 20 of my marriage, God saved it.
How so?
Because early in our marriage, there was infidelity, and I was so driven to be a football coach that I neglected the family. My wife's kind of done. And I don't know what her and God did together. We got counseling an older couple at our church in North Carolina. Never talked about our marriage. Mm. Only thing they talked about was individual relationship with Christ, and that changed our marriage. And so it was a testimony to our children that life, that marriage is not always easy. You know, when a guy wants me to marry him and his fiance, I won't do it unless my wife and I can do counseling. We tell our story first, because you know I live with grace. That's what I live with every day with my wife.
Yeah.
And so I'm very thankful that God could give a testimony to my children, my three daughters, that even in the struggles, God can heal. Even in the unfortunate stuff, God can heal. Even in the mistakes. But I don't think we're, as adults, we're not transparent enough with the ones coming behind us, because we want to make people think we've always had it like this. Has not always been like this. I was a class A idiot, you know?
Yeah. But being open about that is important, right?
You know what? And I didn't grow up with that, because, you know, you just didn't do that in the South. I had a great father and mother, but we didn't talk about stuff. I didn't know their struggles, what the issues were. My wife grew up, her family kind of was in an abusive family. With our father, with our mom. So we had two different dynamics that we brought into one marriage. Two different perspectives that we never dealt with. We never got counseled before we got married. Now, we met with the preacher 2 days before, and he asked us, are we sure? Like, what am I going to say? Like, really? You know, and so we started off with not the same perspective.
Yeah.
So that's the most thing I'm thankful, man, that I still... that I have a godly wife that loves me unconditional, and I try to do the same back to her. Now, we're just as opposite as apples and onions now.
Mm-hmm.
We're opposite. But God brought us together for a purpose.
Man, that's so encouraging. And thank you for sharing that, James. He is James Mitchell. He's a team chaplain with the Tennessee Titans. This is going to be a fun year to watch and see where God takes you, where he takes the team. But thank you for being here on the show, and all the best to you, my friend.
Emma, great thing. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, let me go get some of that right now. How about that? Thank you, James.
All right, brother. Thanks a lot, man.
And many thanks to James Mitchell from the Titans. How great was he? He's just fantastic. What a great guy to have a conversation with, to learn from, to hear his story, his journey, and how God got a hold of him. And even at the end, when he talked about his marriage 20 years ago, almost falling apart, that was inspiring to me, because marriage is not easy, and yet he persevered through that, and now he's seeing the fruit from that on the other side, and certainly the influence that he has in that Titans locker room to so many. I know a lot of those players have talked and raved about James Mitchell and the importance of him being in that locker room with those players and those coaches. And listen, we talked marriage, we talked leadership. He's a guy I want to go fishing with as well, right? I don't mind. Put the bag over my head. Take me to your little secret fishing place and let's go fishing, and then put the bag back on my head and let's go home. I don't care, but I would love to spend some more time with James Mitchell and hope to do that in the future. And just super thankful that he shared his story here on Sports Spectrum. We are thankful to you as well for tuning in. It means so much when you listen and when you share about the stories that we have here, the intersection of sports and faith. That's what we're about at Sports Spectrum, bringing Jesus and keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. Check out the website, sportsspectrum.com. Make sure you click follow or subscribe on whatever app you're listening to this podcast on. That way you don't miss any more episodes of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And then please do tell someone or share with someone about the ministry of Sports Spectrum and about this show, and maybe even share with them about James Mitchell. He's a guy that you want to learn more about. So thanks for the support, and thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the show. We'll see you next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Have a great rest of your day.